Kaya Wanju, hello, welcome to another episode of The Curve. I'm Andrew Pierce, and this is the podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boorloo, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. Producer Tom Phillips is a bit of a mastermind at bringing great comedy together on screen. His work as writer on the excellent series Lucy and Dick shows he understands the importance of comedic sensibility, a mindset that has guided him well when it comes to the best Aussie comedy of the year, Lesbian Space Princess. Tom is the producer of this explosive debut feature from Leela Varghese and Emma Hobbs. And in the following conversation, he talks through his creative process from Lucy and Dick to producing Lesbian Space Princess, the lessons that he's learned along the way, including helping finesse the script, and how his work at the burgeoning production house We Made a Thing Studios, affectionately known as WeMat, is shaping how stories are told on screen in Australia. In 2018, Tom was announced in the Ones to Watch group by Screen Producers Australia. And in this chat, we also talk about the role of the Adelaide Film Festival in spotlighting the work like Lucy and Dick and Lesbian Space Princess. I have been a fan of Tom's work for a while now. As I mentioned, Lucy and Dick is a great web series that you can head over to YouTube and watch. So 1.5 million people have watched it. One of the voice talents, of course, is Aussie Man, which is a great expressive Australian voice right there. But the comedy is something else altogether. It's quite a beautiful, fun series to sit and watch, just as Lesbian Space Princess is a wonderful, bright, evocative, powerful, delightful bubblegum of film that really, really just makes my heart sing. As you'll hear in this particular conversation, I saw this at the opening night at the Adelaide Film Festival, where it heads premiere of sorts. It's technically not the world premiere because it was an unfinished cut, but regardless, it felt pretty finished to me. I've watched it a few times since then and I've laughed my head off ever since. I think this is an absolute delight of a film, and it's heading into Australian screens today, 11th of September 2025, alongside another essential Aussie film, Samuel Grant's Vincent's Went Up the Hill, both of which screened at the Adelaide Film Festival in 2024. Both essential films to see in a cinema. So please head along and go and see both films in a cinema this weekend. I think that both of the filmmakers are trying to do a little bit of a Barbenheimer thing, whereas it's like Lesbian Went Up the Hill or Lesbian Up the Hill or something like that. Nonetheless, make a double of it. Go and see the bright bubblegum film of Lesbian Space Princess and go and have a bit of a sad experience with Went Up the Hill. Both of them are cinematic delights that you will absolutely not regret going and spending time to watch. Or go and see the sad film first and then go out and watch the bubblegum film. Or sandwich it. Watch Lesbian Space Princess and then watch Went Up the Hill and go and watch Lesbian Space Princess again. You'll want to see it. It's a delight of a film. I know that you're going to love it. Right, now the hard sell from me. If you want to find out more about the work that we do on The Curb, then head over to thecurb.com.au or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky at thecurb.au. We're a completely independent and ad-free website that lives on supported listeners and readers just like yourself. So if you can, visit patreon.com/thecurb.au and support us from as little as $1 a month. We'd also love it if you could rate and review us on the podcast player of your choice. Every review helps amplify the interviews and stories from filmmakers to a wider audience. New interviews drop on Thursdays, like the one today, with bonus chats appearing on Tuesdays. And guess what? There's also a bonus chat that's appeared today as well, with Nadine interviewing director Julie Pacino, yes, that Pacino, for her film, which will be screening at the Sydney Underground Film Festival this weekend. Once again, thecurb.com.au is where you can listen to those. Right. That's enough from me and my rascally voice. Here is the trailer for Lesbian Space Princess, followed by my chat with producer Tom Phillips.
Kiki, I didn't exactly have girls knocking down my door before you did. You are my everything.
You're dumped.
Fuck.
I just thought dating a space princess would be more fun.
Where am I?
We're the straight white Malians.
Oh, come on!
Kill the lesbian!
Sarah, you gotta help me!
Kiki!
I can't just abandon her. I've got to save Kiki.
An intergalactic space quest to save your ex? Oh, wow.
Oh, God, this is pathetic.
If she loves you so much, what is taking her so long?
I have a huge crush on you.
Get up, you little sweaty bitch.
Oh, my God. Oh.
We gotta be confident. We gotta be too, but not too confident. We gotta be beautiful.
Oh, not too beautiful.
But not too beautiful.
Can't be too beautiful.
You gotta have nice shoes. You gotta everything you do. I gotta do backwards in flat shoes.
That's it, Dad. No, going well. Yeah, it's been a busy year. It's been a very busy year.
Yeah, and I kind of want to talk to you about that because. You know, I was there last year at Adelaide when the film launched, but I kind of want to take a bit of a step back further than that before we even get into talking about Lesbian Space Princess, which is huge.
Yeah.
And obviously I want to talk about that. But I want to talk about you as a producer, right?
Yeah.
And your role in being a producer and the work that you've done over the years. And I'll start with a really basic question to start off with, which is... Producing and storytelling on screen, when did you decide that that was the thing that you wanted to do as a creative person?
I think like a lot of producers, I fell into producing. I straight out of uni, I wanted to write and direct, and I still do a bit of writing. But I think I found... I think basically everyone at uni, like you ask a lecture full of students in film and TV, what do you want to do? They're all going to put their hands up for writing and directing. And I think that was the same for me. I lived sort of the filmmaker cliche. Like I worked in a video store, like one of the last Blockbusters that was around in Adelaide, and really fell in love with storytelling and specifically writing. But I also did business and management at university and work for a marketing and business consultant straight out of uni. And so I was dealing with, balance sheets, P&Ls, working with some really big companies. So it probably got me really confident in spreadsheets and numbers. And ironically, I left that to go kind of freelance and I wanted to get into film. And now I spend most of my time in spreadsheets. I was a writer and the development and the structural side of storytelling has always been fascinating to me. I just remember as soon as I could reading every single book on script writing and storytelling in general and still kind of carry that across in terms of producing, because I think that's, there are lots of different types of producers. You have creative producers, you have ones that are sort of more, I guess, financially driven in terms of pulling finance together. You have producers that just know a lot of people so can pull strings where they need. In indie film in Australia, I think you have to do all of those things. I think I fell into the producing side of things just because I wasn't scared of spreadsheets and actually saw from a lower budget and a leaner mentality, that's actually where a lot of creative decisions could be made. And if it's made early in terms of script and development, like we know the budget is going to be X, therefore we can be smart with how we develop and structure this script. You can actually achieve these things. And I think Lesbian Space Princess is almost like the perfect first feature that encapsulates that, because, you know, a lot of people basically said it was impossible to do a 2D animated feature for that budget. And, you know, there was elements where we were like, yeah, there's probably some truth to that statement. But we knew if we were smart at an early stage in the development and the writing side, we could at least alleviate some of those problems later, if that makes sense. But yeah, that's my long-winded way of like, I fell into producing, but I do think the creative drive is still there. Like my favorite days are development and in the writer's room.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's not also brush over the fact that you wrote a major series, Lucy and Dick, and your involvement with WeMat Studios is phenomenal. Like, it is scene-setting stuff of the style of comedy that you're working with there, the particular economy of storytelling as well, and the use of visuals in a way that is like, you know, it looks $1 million, but I know for a fact that you made it for not much at all.
Yeah.
So as a stepping stone into Lesbian Space Princess, how important was that kind of the work on writing Lucy and Dick and then creating that and the space of working with WeMat Studios? How important was that kind of ground level stuff?
Yeah. So Lucy and Dick is a really, I think, was a wonderful step into Lesbian Space Princess. And part of that, we basically kind of, I think through Lucy and Dick as a company, I think we found our voice a little bit. We gravitate towards genre, irreverent comedy, high concepts, but always grounding in reality. So Lucy and Dick, yeah, it's about a talking, floating robot, but at the end of the day, it's kind of about two friends on a couch. And that was always like, I don't think early we set that was our vision. It just, we gravitated to those stories. And I think then Lesbian Space Princess at its core was the same. Yeah, it's a big space kind of opera and journey, but at the end of the day, it's a little road trip about a character finding themselves. And, you know, like we knew for us to kind of get our stuff out there, we had to make something that had a bit of edge. And I think with myself and the co-founder, Jeremy Kelly Backer, who comes from high-end visual effects, we knew some of the tools that we could lean into was we could do some stuff that I guess people wouldn't expect at a lower budget, and we could reach a bit further. And so it was always a global audience is what we were trying to target. We were fortunate with Lucy and Dick. We had the voice of Ethan Morrell, so Aussie Man Reviews, who comes with his own audience, but at the end of the day, still had to create, I guess, a world that we loved and wanted to expand on. And then hopefully the audience would as well. So yeah, Lucy and Dick was a really good sort of step into that, where we wrote the comedy really for ourselves, but we knew that it potentially would just stand out a little bit more than if we were to make that about two flatmates kind of thing. So yeah, but trying not to overreach as well. So like Lucy and Dick, in terms of development, we set ourselves rules. Like that was very much like we had one special shot in each of those first episodes. And the rest was like, you know, Dick is a bit of a cheat. Like he floats, he doesn't interact with things too much. We're only allowed to do that once per episode. And so that was set before I wrote those scripts. So it was just like, we can't do that. And Lesbian Space Princess was essentially the follow on from that, where we're in the writers, when we're breaking the story, we're like, we need to keep locations down, we need to keep characters down. And to Em and Leela's credit, like they stuck to that, and you know, wrote a script that is super funny, but at its core is a road trip film. Like a lot of that film is set in that problematic ship, but aligning, I guess, with the WeMat sort of mentality, it was always like, we're going to give ourselves little moments to run and sprint and give it the perception of scope. And that's always what we did with Lucy and Dick, and that's kind of what we did with Lesbian Space Princess. It was like kind of the same model, just updated. And Em and Leela, to their absolute credit, were on board that journey and, yeah, wrote and then directed a banger. So, yeah.
And I remember listening to them talk about the need for the economy of visuals last year, where they're like, can't have characters walking too much. They've got to stand there because that's a bit difficult. We'll talk about Adelaide Film Festival in a moment, but I specifically want to talk about the South Australia Film Corporation's Film Lab, The New Voices, because that played a major role in your life and the film's life and obviously Emma and Leela's life. How important is having something like that available in South Australia for South Australian creatives?
Well, it's like, obviously, I mean, I'm going to be biased, but super important. Yeah. I think the two films that have come out of it, Monolith and Lesbian Space Princess, you know, that it's such a wonderful first step into a feature for a creative team. And knowing the Monolith team really well and then getting to go through it ourselves, it is super important because, like, the way I always look at it, like, I've essentially up until then, we'd been in this industry for nearly a decade, actually. Yeah, a decade. And it's always, you feel like you're trying to get your foot in that door. And Lucy and Dick was a little, like, call it a little baby toe in the door. But as soon as you make that step into long form, that is when your foot's properly in and you are perceived differently. And I think that for us and the support that the SAFC, Adelaide Film Festival and Screen Australia all showed around Film Lab New Voices gave us that ability to kind of squeeze the foot in. We still then had to lock ourselves in a dark room for a year and a half to finish the film. But it was a really massive enabling factor. I think the other wonderful thing about that initiative, and this is, I guess, the creative producer in me, but the development, like, we had a year to develop that project. And it was a really, giving yourself the time, like, we had a full week in the sort of locked in a writer's room where we could break the main beats of the story and the structure of it. And we kind of got that down. And Emma's got this wonderful, like, she drew the journey on a whiteboard once we kind of got all those major beats. And the film aligns with that now. The structure was set and the girls then just had the ability, I think it was 4 drafts across that 12-month period with a script editor, like, essentially really simulating, like, proper process of development. And a lot of the times you don't get that. But that's a bit of a luxury in Australian film, I think, that you kind of, basically there is an expectation that you go and you write on spec and you develop on spec. But this was a lovely, it was full on 12 months of development and rounds of notes. And I think, you know, getting used to that cadence of delivering a script on a certain time, at a certain time, and then having to keep adjusting. But once again, like, it's one of my favorite parts of the process. And I think Em and Leela really, like, it was the first time they'd written together as well. That was one of, like, the things early, like, I'd worked with both Emma and Leela individually, but I'd never worked with them together. And so that's always, like, co-writing is a funny dance in and of itself. And that was always the one thing, was like, how is this going to go? But that first draft they wrote, and I've said this a lot, and I know they're sick of probably me saying it, but that first draft was it was good enough to send to market. Like, they've made a lot better since then, but it was really solid for a first draft. And for two people that hadn't written together like that, it was a really big green flag that I was like, I think, you know, there's something special in the works here. So, yeah, it was, and Film Lab and New Voices really gave us that platform.
Yeah, which is phenomenal. I know that having a title like Lesbian Space Princess as a producer is probably going to get you so excited because you know how to sell that. You know how it does what it says on the tin. But then getting that script, that initial script, that's got to be fairly exciting as well, and getting to see what that's like on the page. And you mentioned, like, it's that first version is marketable. But from my perspective, at least, like, as you're saying, Australian filmmakers don't have the time to be able to hone and finesse that script, right? They've got to write on spec. And so you know, the old edict of getting your script right and then you're going to have a great film is even more important when it comes to an animated film, and especially having the first feature-length animated film ever made in South Australia as well. So it's a huge amount of pressure, but having a title like Lesbian Space Princess makes it easy to kind of sell in some capacity. But I guess the question I should ask is, are you, as a producer, how do you know when it's ready to go, right? And because it might have been so easy to just go, great, this first script is perfect, right? We've got a title that's easy to sell, right? Easy to market, no problems whatsoever. But how do you work with Emma and Leela to finesse it and make sure that it's at a stage that you can ready to go into animation and production?
Well, I think for this one, we were fortunate in that we did have a timer that wasn't set by ourselves. We had a delivery date for that fourth draft that was our final submission in Film Lab. And that essentially had to be a production ready script. So we were always pushing, like, we knew we didn't have, for us with that initiative to get the green light, it had to be ready to go. It couldn't be like, oh, we need to do another pass. We need to be, once that submission is put in, like if we get the green light, we're starting pre-production 2 weeks ago. So it was a big push for the whole team to kind of have that. I kind of call it a bit of a logistics pass. Like we were doing that as we were going on LSP. And so it was probably after we did a table read at about draft 3. And that was when I was like, oh, if we just make this film, it's going to work. That's when it really came all together, because I was really enjoying reading the scripts up until then. But that's when we got everyone around a table. And the other thing that happened in that, it was one of the things that was written into the script was Leela's music. And I couldn't visualize really kind of get where that was going at a pure script level until we stepped into that table read and Leela went and just recorded some demos on her iPhone. And so as we were doing the table read and each of those songs are kind of actually written into the script, she would play her phone. And that's when all of a sudden, like this, the film had this weird, for me, I always use the reference, like the life aquatic, like that weird sort of, I think it's Portuguese David Bowie acoustic guitar as this strange heartbeat to the film. And yeah, that's, it kind of gave it this little beating heart that I, as just a pure reader, couldn't visualize yet. And as soon as Leela did that, and I guess the dialogue was always bouncing really nicely. And it was around the table read. I was like, okay, we could go make this now and it would be good. We took another draft to take it another level. And really that was around, I think a lot of depth around the Willow character was that final pass and just like a couple of the really nice cherries on top. But it was about that level. I was like, yeah, we're pretty good here. But I think that goes back to the very first week where structurally the film was nailed. And Em and Leela, once again, they really stuck to their guns. And I think I've heard Leela kind of use it a bit, but when I was a big one on like, don't untie the structure too much. Like it's like a thread in a jumper. Like if you pull at a certain thread, it's going to all fall apart too much. Like, and you kind of need to trust your gut that the holistic structure was in a really good space, leave that intact and then go deep into the characters. And I think that's where we were off to the races really early, but it was that table read. And when the music started to come into it, that I was like, okay, I can see this thing working. If someone dropped the green light on us next week, could we go and make it? And that's when I was probably across the line.
Yeah. And I mean, it's phenomenal. Like I've seen it a couple of times, but I will never forget going to the Piccadilly and seeing it in the opening night You know, that world premiere was just a phenomenal experience. Having the 10-minute standing ovation and all that kind of stuff was just jaw-dropping. What's your memories of that night?
It started with fear. started with a lot of fear. I guess at the end of the day, we kind of knew there was a little bit of home ground advantage that you get at an AF screening. And so that made me a little confident, but it's still like there was a moment because the Piccadilly was a place I went to as a kid. I remember that cinema, and I love that it's been renoed and it's been done so well. So to kind of be walking into your own film was pretty surreal. And then I was sitting down, I was like, shit, there's a lot of people here. And I'm looking around the audience and I don't know everyone. And that's what changed for me. I was like, okay, like this is not just purely an audience that is all on our side because they don't know us. And then as the lights went down and the film was about to start, I was also like extra nervous because like, oh, we made a comedy. I really hope people laugh because we hadn't watched it with a big group. We'd watched it with our animation team. So we watched it with about 8 people. But like that was when it kind of came to roost. But as soon as we got like the first laugh in the opening, so the scrapbook intro, I think I rested a little easy. And then I was able to just enjoy the film with the audience. And one of the things in that audience, and it's been kind of constant throughout, was there is different pockets of laughter throughout the film. And it's one of the things that we said at the start, we knew its main target audience, and that's what the heart and the drive of the film is for. But it was also that, can we get the comedy fans or the sci-fi fans or, you know, the pop culture reference fans into this thing? And to hear different pockets of the audience laugh at different bits is really special. And that's happened throughout, but AF was the real, like the first example of that. And then, yeah, the standing ovation was a bit of a shock because I haven't seen too many of those at AF. And yeah, it definitely, like, I think we were all in just a bit of shock. Like, yeah, I think that's how I remember it.
I've been, like, to a fair few world premieres, not just in Australia, but abroad, but specifically focus on Australia. Never seen any kind of standing ovation like that ever. You know, maybe for 30 seconds and then people quickly sit down.
Yeah.
But 10 minutes was just unheard of.
Yeah.
It was quite the experience. And then, so you take it from Adelaide and then you go abroad, right? Which is, you know, in itself is probably a challenge to know, is this comedy actually going to travel? Is it going to travel to a European audience, which has its own specific style of comedy that they appreciate? What was your thought pattern in not just hitting home in Australia, but taking Australian comedy abroad like this?
Well, it was one of the big like things we talked about was like how is the comedy going to travel? And to be honest, until that first screening in Berlin for the Berlinale, like we really didn't know. The one thing that kind of gave us a little bit of faith was that Berlin programmed us at all, because Berlin like was always sort of up the top, but it was like we're too silly of a little film for the Berlinale. And then when they came back with, I guess, the offer, but also the enthusiasm that like that programming team had for the film, it was sort of, it definitely gave us a little bit of confidence going into it. And I remember one of the nights out, like before we'd screened in Berlin, we were at a bar and we bumped into these random people and they were like, what are you guys doing here? You're clearly not from here. And we're like, oh, we've got a film playing at the festival. And they're like, oh, we're here from regional Germany to come to the festival to see this film. And we're like, oh, what are you going to go see? And they're like, Lesbian Space Princess. And we're like, well, we made that. So yeah, that was lovely. So we had some beers with them And that was really interesting to see. And that, we were like, what made you, like, they were like, we saw the title and we saw the screenshots. And we're like, we have to come see this film. So once again, a little bit of a confidence boost. But once again, like that first screening in Berlin, the nerves hit. And you're like, I really hope this travels. And once again, the first few laughs, as soon as the audience gets going, that was a really wonderful screening as well. And I think that was like 650 people in that cinema, and it was loud. And yeah, like that kind of gave us a little bit of confidence that would move. And yeah, sort of Berlin, I know the girls said the Annecy screening went really well. I was fortunate to see it in Mexico, and that was loud, like really loud. And yeah, like I think after Berlin, we had a little bit of confidence that the comedy was going to travel. And I think once again, this probably goes back to the girls specifically and their writing, but also the performances that we got, like, and that we had a wonderful cast, even though mainly Australian, they did such a good job in such a short amount of time. And I think that's definitely helped position it to be as successful as it can be overseas, yeah, no doubt.
Definitely. I mean, could talk about that voice cast for years. I think it's phenomenal. Yeah. But I spoke to Emma and Leela earlier in the year, and then unexpectedly Shabana dropped on the Zoom as well, which was delight. But yeah, it's, again, that's such an energetic film, such a delightful film. It's a lead into wrapping up. The last two things which I want to touch on is the South Australian aspect of it all once more. And if you think back to Adelaide Film Festival again, you had the major screenings there. And I'd mentioned to Emma and Leela, there was somebody on Letterboxd who I think went to all of the screenings that were at Adelaide Film Festival last year. Said something along the lines of it became their personality, which is a delight, yeah, to be able to see. But you have that, and then you have season two of Lucy and Dick, which is screening there too. So there's a bit of a you spotlight and championing the work that you're working on and part of, which is huge. So I guess on a fundamental level, what does it mean to have a film festival like Adelaide being able to support you? And then I'll step into one last question about South Australia as a whole.
Yeah, well, AF back in the day, so 2017, I go back to when we made the first Lucy and Dick short. And we made that for $500. We were just going to launch it online, but Amanda Duthie, who was running the Adelaide Film Festival then, got a hold of it and said, look, please just hold it. We want to play it opening night of the festival. And so we did that, and, you know, that kind of gave us an intro to that world, and we got sort of a big fan and a big friend in someone like Amanda, who's now recently just at Netflix. But that, she was the first champion of not just Lucy and Dick, but us. And I think that was really important. And then through that, we met Matt, because Matt was in and around the festival then, and he's taken over the festival now. We've always kind of since then really considered them close friends. And the work that they do in curating local film, investing in local film, but investing in development as well. So they took us across to Cannes when we were making Lesbian Space Princess as part of their AF Goes to Cannes sort of initiative. And that was really important as well. So I think they really hit at a lot of levels for not just emerging, but mid and established filmmakers. And once again, I'm biased and they do work next door. So
that's okay.
They're very close proximity. But no, I couldn't sing their praises enough. And like, you look at it, even the success that they've had with films like Talk to Me, and like, you can basically go through the list of the big Adelaide based stuff. They've always been in and around those projects. So that's been, yeah, really nice to have I guess a festival that is also like an absolute hoot to go to, and they curate a really interesting bunch of international and local projects. But it definitely feels like you have amazing support within the state. Yeah. So yeah.
So last question, very quick one, which is a big question, but give me a short answer so I can jump off this Zoom, let you get on with your day. South Australia, like you mentioned, Talk to Me, Monolith, Lesbian Space Princess, all of these different films that are being made there. It's insane the quality and the level of work that's coming out of there. What is it from your perspective that makes South Australia such a creative hotbed?
That's a tough one to try and nail quickly. I'll be biased. Like, I think, look, I've met really good talent from everywhere. But I think that there's a thing about SA that because we are a bit separate, I guess, from the eastern states, I think there is not a strength, but an extra drive is like you really have to do something that stands out. And you talk about those films, Monolith, Talk to Me. They all had something really unique that stood out in the grander sort of, I guess, Australian landscape. And that's not to say other states don't do that as well, but I think it's built into our DNA to try and find that earlier, because we know we're smaller. We know there's not as many like opportunities. So when you do get that opportunity, you kind of have to swing big. So I do think it is built into the creative DNA here. And I bet you could probably track that across most creative industries. But definitely what I've seen in film, it's like the confidence and guts to swing big. And that's what, like, as soon as the girls said Lesbian Space Princess, it was that as a title, it was like, that's going to be it. That's all I need to say yes. And then like, yeah, getting Film Lab, but also, you know, Umbrella coming on board really early, like we and AF being really supportive, like we had all the pieces that was necessary, and then it was just up to us to go away and make the film and hopefully not stuff it up. So that was kind of it.
Well, you haven't. You've made it, like, in my mind, the best Australian film of the year. Like, it's absolutely phenomenal. And it's one of the best films of the year, regardless of that qualification at all. It's just a stunning, stunning film. Congratulations, Tom. I've already said congratulations to Leela and Emma, but, you know, I'm stoked to be able to see it finally getting out into a wide release. And I know the audience is going to love it. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a delight being able to talk with you.
Thanks so much, Andrew. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to this chat with Tom Phillips about his film, Lesbian Space Princess, except it's not just his film. It's also Emma Hoff-Hobbs and Leela Varghese's film. And I interviewed them earlier in the year, so you can head over to thecurb.com.au to listen to that interview. Or you can also read Cody Allen's review for the film over on thecurb.com.au. Please rate, review, and share this interview with your film-loving friends. Go and see Lesbian Space Princess and Went Up the Hill in Australian cinemas from today, 11th of September 2025. Have a delightful time in cinemas. Support Australian films. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and I'll see you on the next one.